going to be a big summer for Gustav Mahler in symphony halls across America and Europe. The Austrian composer and conductor was born 150 years ago, this July 7th. The Baltimore Symphony Orchestra will be among those honoring Mahler when it opens its season this fall with the performance of Mahler's Seventh Symphony. Of course, we're joined by our friend Maren Alsop, musical director of the BSO. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, it's great to be here, Scott.
And I should mention, we left this piece out, that Mahler died in 1911, in case people are expecting a big birthday party.
We like to try to extend and expand these anniversaries as much as possible.
Yes. All right. Well, he was considered a bridge between centuries, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. As my great mentor and teacher, Leonard Bernstein, said, Mahler was the prophet of the 20th century, and I really think that's true. I mean, he was pushing the envelope of composition in terms of length of symphony. Hmm. Every symphony becomes an epic journey, and it becomes about the exploration of not only the world around him, but his inner psyche and his relationship to humanity and spirituality. So, you know, this was something new.
I believe a great observer of the music scene, you, said that to understand what Mahler's presence was like, you have to understand what it's like to be a rock star now.
Oh, definitely. He cut a pretty dashing figure. You know, he was very slim, very mysterious, quite exotic. He always wore a cape. And so there was this mystery about him, and people were just... He was magnetic, I think, as a person, and people were gravitated toward him like magnets.
You've chosen Mahler's Seventh to open the season in September. Why that?
Well, the Seventh Symphony for me is every single Mahler symphony, I should say, is an adventure. It's a journey, you know, because Mahler in each symphony, he's not just trying to capture one idea. He's trying to deal with the entire question of life, existence, afterlife, why we're here. It can get pretty heavy, you know.
Yeah.
He's trying to cover a lot of territory. The Seventh Symphony has two movements that are called Night Music 1, Night Music 2. So in the midst of these huge orchestrations, you know, 120 people on stage, suddenly there are these little, almost intermezzi, you know, intimate song-like experiences. In the fourth movement, he uses a mandolin and a guitar. It's such a quiet, intimate experience in the midst of this insanity, you know, of dealing with the destruction of civilization, mm-hmm. to suddenly have this beautiful moment. Also, there's another fascinating quality for me about his music, which is that he loves to incorporate popular music. You know, people think Mahler's so inaccessible, but yeah. Suddenly a klezmer band breaks out or a funeral band marching away.
Cowbells. At one
cowbells.
Point.
He puts cowbells in. I mean, for us today, it sounds a little bit odd, but of course, in the time, it would have been extremely evocative of, you know, rural life mm-hmm. of the day.
Leonard Bernstein in the New York Philharmonic, 1966 recording. How well received was he as a composer as opposed to a conductor in his time?
Well, as a composer, it was secondary, if not completely subservient to his renown as a conductor. He changed everything about conducting. You know, conducting, when Mahler did it, suddenly took on a leadership role. He was the one, for example, who demanded that the Viennese public arrive on time to the opera, or they couldn't get in until there was a break in the music.
Try that with your major donor circle.
Yeah, really,
these days.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, those kinds of things. Or he was the first person to demand that people not applaud in the middle of pieces or between movements because it would break his concentration. I mean, you know, he really changed and upped the ante tremendously for conductors. And as a matter of fact, in his own music, it's really fascinating. He leaves little notes for the conductor. Don't do this at this, and be sure you do this, and don't forget about this, all over the place. And, you know, and there are now footnotes in the published scores because he knew that the conductors around him wouldn't pay as much attention to the detail as he wanted. So it's interesting. It's kind of fun to do his music because you have all these direct little notes, and you know, you're going along, and Marin, don't, no, I told you not to do that.
Is that intimidating? I mean, it's a note from Gustav Mahler.
It is a little intimidating, especially when you decide to ignore the note, which I do occasionally, but not often, I promise.
You make a comparison between Mahler's Symphony No. 5 and Beethoven's 5th.
Well, you know, Mahler felt that Beethoven was his almost, you know, to use the lingo of the time, archetypal father figure. And he put Beethoven, as most composers did and continue to do, on a pedestal unlike any other. And he revered his Fifth Symphony. Of course, we all know the opening, ba-ba-ba-ba, to the mm-hmm. Fifth Symphony, so much that in Mahler's Fifth Symphony, he opens with the same figure. It's slightly different. Ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba.
Well, they say great artists don't borrow, they steal.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, it's fantastic. And this idea also of the Ninth Symphony having some kind of superstitious connotation because, you know, Beethoven wrote 9 and he started on his 10th and, of course, died. So Mahler tried to avoid this fatalistic experience, and instead of writing a Ninth Symphony at the time, he wrote Das Lied von der Erde, and then went on to compose his 9th symphony, and then died right after his 9th symphony while he was working on his 10th.
Goodness gracious.
So it didn't work, but...
Yes. Not background music, is it?
Definitely not. It's every Mahler symphony to me is it's really an adventure. And every time I conduct a Mahler symphony, at the end I feel that my life has been changed somehow.
Wow.
Wow, I know. Sorry. I don't mean to.
I don't think you've ever... I've never heard you say that about another composer.
Oh, well, you know, I just... I really feel strongly about these symphonies and immersing myself in the 7th, you know, as we're going to open our season with the 7th, I end up feeling, this is definitely my favorite Mahler symphony. But then I just recently conducted the Resurrection, the 2nd symphony, in London with a chorus of 600 people.
Oh.
And of course, all I could think all week was, oh, this is definitely my favorite. So, you know, it's one of those, I'm thrilled that he wrote so many symphonies and that we can all have this year to celebrate and explore his music. Who knows? Maybe people will really understand what an incredible rock star he was.
Marin, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
Maren Alsop, musical director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, which is opening its season this fall with a performance of Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 7. To hear more music by Mahler and read about Gustav Mahler's four-hour meeting with Sigmund Freud, you wonder, did Freud bill by the hour? You can go to our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.